This is two bad football teams. On a 425 start, Raymond James Stadium, early November, who's worse? That's what we're going to find out in this game. Let's call it like it is. Still plenty of time. The clock's ticking, but still time to turn it around. But neither team has shown that they can do that. We're going to find out in this game. This is Bucks Kickoff, only on the biggest, baddest, best information site when it comes to Buccaneer football anywhere in the world, joebucksfan.com. I'm going to tell you about my favorite place to get a burger and a shake at Burger Monger. I'm Rock Riley. Here we go. I was at One Buck on Monday. I was at One Buck on Wednesday. I was at One Buck on Thursday. I would have been there Tuesday, but the gates were closed because the players have the day off and we're not allowed in there. I'm there. I'm going to go under the rock. What I've seen, what I've heard, my sources in the building, even we're not there. What the Rams plan on doing. Here we go. Who's worse? That's the way I'm going to look at it. All right, the Rams are 3-4. They were up. They ended up losing to the San Francisco 49ers. Christian McCaffrey was just, he put on a show. The kid is so stinking good. He threw a touchdown pass. He ran one in. He caught one. It was one of those things where on paper, but the game isn't played on paper. The Rams are a better team than the 49ers, but the 49ers just seem to play better against the Rams. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, my God. The offense isn't scoring. It's three and outs. It's no long drives. The defense is faltering in the second half. Tom Brady has never been 3-5 in the NFL. Tom Brady has never been two games under 500 in the NFL. The Buccaneers on Thursday Night Football against the Ravens had five possessions in a row with only 19 plays. Punt, 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 punt. That's the story of this season. That's the story of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers defense gets gassed. Now, I was there on Monday, and I'll tell you what, that feels like it was so long ago. The players, there is, here we go again. No excuse for the Bucs. It was just like this for the Rams last week against the 49ers because they were coming off a bye week. They healed up, they were rested, and they laid an egg in the second half. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers practiced on Monday. It's supposed to be it's a bonus practice. We got there, I'm watching, I'm like, this ain't no walkthrough. They were moving around pretty damn quick. Anthony Nelson, you're going to see more of because Shaq Barrett is done. He said guys were flying around. Jamel Dean said during the Friday, Saturday, Sunday that they had off after the Rams game, he goes, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do anything. My body felt like I was hit by a bus. You don't realize it. We see these guys. They're great athletes. They're making millions of dollars. They're young. They're in great shape. But the human body was not made to play football on a Thursday night. And so they got their rest in. They came to work on Monday. Okay. They went indoors on Wednesday. It was looking like it was going to rain in Tampa. They could have practiced outside. What happens when they practice indoors? It's just a different vibe. Some of the older players, they don't like being on the turf. They'd rather be on natural grass. Some of the younger guys say, with this heat and humidity, yeah, I know. Wherever you are around the world, we're still 89, 90 degrees it's been with high humidity here beginning in November. It's ridiculous. But Buccaneers quarterbacks practice outside, and then they'll come in. And the rest of the team practices indoors. And then on Thursday, they're back outside. Brady did not practice on Thursday, but it was just a rest day. He did speak on Thursday. I get into all of that. But when we came, I'm going to do my Under the Rock segment in just a little bit. But let me go into this a little bit more. Tom Brady is not turning the ball over, but he's just not, and the offense in sync. You can see it. I can see it. Everybody can see it. He's off. He's been, some passes are not on the money. It's not Brady. Was it the offensive line? It had been. He was getting rid of it just a half second faster than he normally does. And he always gets rid of it faster than any other quarterback in the NFL. When Roethlisberger was playing, Big Ben was one. Brady was just a hair right below Roethlisberger. Now Brady still gets it out. He's number one, and he's been doing it this season even just a tad faster than he used to. So he's off. His timing is off. I know a lot of people asking about the arm. I don't see it, because when I'm watching practice and when they do the deep ball before we leave, he is slinging it. He's putting it out there, and you can see it in games. There's some in tight windows that he threads it, and other ones where it's off. It's off. The whole team has been off. You know that, but so have the Rams. Brady has thrown for 2,267 yards, all right, 340, nine touchdowns and one interceptions. Nine touchdowns is not Brady-like, but one INT. He's not turning it over. Matthew Stafford, okay, has less yards, less attempts. Matthew Stafford, seven touchdowns, eight interceptions. Now, he was more of a game manager last week, and I thought that was Stafford's best game of the season. But Stafford's not going to light it up in this game here, and Brady just hasn't been Brady-like. Leonard Fournette, it's the worst rushing offense in all of the NFL. All right, they're averaging 62 yards a game. Leonard, 386, two touchdowns. And on the other side with the Rams, Darrell Henderson, okay, he's their guy. Look at this. Leonard Fournette has 112 carries and 386 yards. Darrell Henderson, you ready for this? Their bell cow, 50 carries, 197 yards, two touchdowns. That's it. Cam Akers wanted a trade. He didn't want to play. They couldn't trade him. He's back. We'll see how that's all going to shake out. And with the losing, now I have been covering teams for a long time, and with the losing, it's not only losing on Sunday, and then you get ready for the next week. It's Wednesday in the locker room, Thursday in the locker room, at the podium when Leftwich or Todd Bowles talks. It's what's the matter? When are you going to turn it around? How come you're not doing this? Why shouldn't you do this? Is this the blame? It's negative upon negative upon negative upon negative upon negative. And it comes with the territory. Warren Sapp, the Hall of Famer, went on Instagram. He also went on a podcast with former Buccaneer Ian Beckles. And he showed film of Devin White loafing on a play. And he said someone should rip the C off of his jersey. So we go in the locker room on Wednesday. Devin White was asked, you talking? He's like, I'm good. And he walked out. Levante David, I'm going for treatment. Now, I've been over 25 years in NFL locker rooms, more than that, 25 years down here, probably 30 plus. It comes with the territory. This is nothing. When a team is losing, the media does not, the players don't want to talk to the media because it's all, what's the matter? What are you going to do? Like young Tristan Wirfs talks at his locker every single time, and he's at a loss for words. He's like, I don't know. You know, but anyway, Devin White did talk on Thursday. Kevin O'Donnell, this Fox 13, went over and asked him. Boom, they bring him over. And when he was asked about Warren Sapp, he basically was like, the players know. That was on the other side of the field. Yeah, I should have run faster. But basically, props to Warren Sapp. He won a Super Bowl. Everybody, you know, he's entitled to his opinion. So at least he did face the music on Thursday, because had he said, no, I'm still not going to talk, then it doesn't look good. Look, you're a professional, you're paid millions, you're the captain. If you're not, you got to face the music, man. And he did. But since really Devin White, since that Falcons game, man, missing tackles, no splash plays, no sacks, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no picks. Todd Bowles has been defending him publicly, but only Todd Bowles and Devin White will know behind the scenes if Bowles is chewing his ass out. We won't know that. Bowles isn't going to tell us that, and Devin White isn't going to tell us that. So I know a lot of you are on, think that Todd Bowles, when you see him on the sidelines, it was the same thing when Dungy was here. He's just standing there, a blank look on his face, and it looks like he doesn't care. He doesn't yell at the players. You don't know. We don't know, really, honestly, behind closed doors. I'm trying to find out more and more, and I do have something I want to tell you about, and it's about Brady behind the scenes here. Stick around. But before I do that, let me tell you about my favorite place to get some chow. Some burgers, some delicious chicken, and the best shakes on the planet. That would be Burger Monger. Chop House Burgers and Bar Stool Shakes. There are four spots in Tampa Bay. If you live in Tampa Bay, I'm sure you know about it. If you're outside the area and you're going to visit, they're located Burger Monger in Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. Their burgers are to die for. They are charred. It's a perfect char, maximum flavor. They're hand-pressed on the grill. You got any cheese you want, fresh toppings and sauces. They also have, Burger Monger has their own house-crafted recipe burgers that they've worked in the lab. Sometimes, give me your recipe burger. Their shakes, all natural, hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy. And to top it off, whipped cream and a bunch of toppings. Now, what flavors are their shakes, do you ask? Here you go. Snickers Supreme, Chocolate Fudge, Caramel Crave, Cookies and Cream, Simply Strawberry, and Very Vanilla. Their best kept secret? The Burger Monger Amazing Chicken Sandwiches. Large marinated chicken breasts. You can get them fresh breaded. You can get them deep fried or grilled. And then the sides, the natural cut fries, the sweet potato waffle fries, and the house-made hand-battered onion rings. Is your mouth watering? Mine is. I might just go right after this. And a limited time only, it's got it going on. Burger Monger is offering the LFG Burger. It's basically two in one. It's a burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces of beef. You got the chopped lettuce, the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices. I'm not done. Finished with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. It's the LFG Burger Monger Burger, and it's only $12. Burger Monger. Go there, and you will be glad you did. So this season, I mean, I'm not here to tell you that there's anything that I saw this week that I believe that they're going to turn it around. But I will tell you this. Brady came in to talk to us on Thursday, and he walked in with a big smile. And then once he got into the questions, he was like, we haven't earned it. We're 3-4. I asked him because on his podcast, on his Let's Go podcast, he said, and let me get the quote, what we do, the silver lining is our division. None of the teams in our division have great records. So what we do from here, it's all ahead of us. So I asked him, did he relay that to his players? Because he was talking about the rookies like Hainsey, Gedeky, Cade Otten, some of the younger guys. You can't expect them to do more than they're doing because they're still learning. But the veterans got to step up. And I said, Tom, the fact that the NFC South, you know, is bad, that you're one game out of first, and you got that in front of you, have you had to relay that to some of these guys, man, that it's still in front of you? But you know what his answer was? And it was really good. I'm just paraphrasing. He's like, we're 3-5. We got to find out the reasons, look at the reasons why we're 3-5, and then fix that. And after that, I was in the locker room and I was talking with the Buccaneers staff employee, and he was like, yeah, the Bucs aren't looking at, they're looking at fixing what they can do to get this right, not what other teams are doing in the NFC South or where they are in the standings. And I thought that was pretty good because for the most part on the podium, Brady's going to say, you got to run, you know, we got to run it. We got to get better on third down. We got to get better on short yarded situation. We got to run better. We got to catch it better. We got to throw better. We got to block better. Like all basics. You know, he's not going to give you too much. But my source was that I said, how's Brady doing now? Better. Better. Since everything now has been the divorce is like finalized. there was a reportedly a real strong prenup. They had the prenup before they got married. She's worth 400 plus million. He's worth 300 plus million. You know, she's going to get this house. He's going to get this. She's going to get the Manhattan apartment, blah, 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 blah. But the fact that now it's like, okay, boom, it's finalized, boom. It's actually kind of a weight, a little bit of a weight. They can go forward. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. Maybe that's it. Maybe now that once it's finalized and you're trying to look ahead now, maybe he'll be able to play better. I don't know. But I just wanted to pass that along to you. As a matter of fact, it might be good for more Under the Rock. Now, when we went into that locker room on Monday, it was dead. Nobody wanted to talk to us. Do you blame them? I don't. The locker room's open for a good half hour, I believe. Half hour, 45 minutes, something like that. Some players will open the door. They look, oop. It's like that cartoon where you're backing up, and then whoop, and back into the weeds. That they'll close the door. Now, so some, you know, that's how it was. It was like slim pickings. Tristan Wirfs is always there to talk. Boom. When we went in the locker room on Wednesday, the music was blasting. They were busting balls and just back to being normal. But, you know, it kind of cleared out. Like I said, Devin White, with all that controversy swirling and Warren Sapp calling him out, and he's like, I'm good. Devontae, I'm getting treatment. You know, some of those guys. But again, Devin White on Thursday did. Leonard Fournette. I'm telling you, I like Lenny. Now, he is what he is. He doesn't have the breakaway speed. He doesn't, you know, he's a physical runner. Brady's using him a lot on checkdowns. Off the field, like, I like Lenny. Lenny comes strolling in. Doesn't bother him. The media's in there. Lee, from Joe Buck's fan, went over. Lenny has no shirt on. He's got his football pants on. And he's just walking in. And Lee went over and asked him about the $1,000 tip that he left at a sushi joint. And Lenny gave him an answer. And then that was it. And that was it. And then he took off. They didn't have the it's like cornhole, but it's these pop darts. They didn't have that anymore. That was off to the side. They got these new big lights for the couches, and it just more felt like a normal, you know, week. Thursday, pretty much the same thing. What I'm kind of getting at, and players and coaches have told us, it's still, even though they're on this losing streak and it's not look good and they're not used to this since Brady, there doesn't seem to be sniping going on yet. That will come if this losing continues. Over 30 years in NFL locker rooms on losing teams, seeing it, it's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. So that's a good thing. Okay? But there's nothing like that yet. Mike Edwards, he was talking about, he gave us a little bit what they did this week. There were more ball drills and they were doing things that were getting back to the fundamentals in practice. They were getting back to the fundamentals. They practiced indoors on Wednesday and then they took it out. Oh, Bowles was talking with Arians on his golf cart for a good chunk of the time when they were at the indoor facility. So it's not like, you know, Bowles looking over his shoulder. Do they think that, you know, they're going to bring in or is it going to be left? He's there. Bowles and Arians have been friends for a long, long time. And I've noticed that Todd Bowles was talking with Bruce Arians for quite a bit. All right. So really, I mean, you know, what more can I tell you? You know what? This is what I'm seeing during the week. And even if they have a good practice and they're flying around, why is this not translating to the game? And can it happen against this? This is not a good Rams team. It is not. I listened to the Sean McVay show because my former coworker at Bright House in Bay News 9, JB Long, is the radio voice of the LA Rams, and he hosts the Sean McVay show. And I know JB, and I watched the whole show. And I'll get to that in a minute. I'll start diving into the Rams here in a little minute. The Buccaneers, what's happened at home? They're 1-3 at home. They did beat the Falcons in week 5. That was their one win, and that was not a very good game. So, you know. And we also had the trade deadline this week, and no moves were made. Todd Bowles said he's not going to make any changes to the coaching staff. There have been some changes already. Look at what the Indianapolis Colts did. They fired their offensive coordinator. Other teams are tweaking some things. The Bucs are not. All right. Rams have had Brady's number and the Bucs' number since Brady has become a Buccaneer. The Rams are 3-0 since Brady has put on that number 12 pewter jersey. Before that, Brady only lost one time to the Rams. That was in 2001. After that, when he was with the Patriots, he won 5 straight against LA, including 2 in the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford, a little bit of history here, against the Buccaneers as a Ram, since he's become a Ram in 2 games. He's had the Bucs number. Last year, regular season win, Stafford went for 343 and 4 touchdowns. In that playoff game, we all remember, 366, 2 touchdowns. So in 2 games against the Buccaneer defense, Matthew Stafford has had more than 700 yards. But this is not the same Matthew Stafford this season. Just like Brady, he has not been good. He was pedestrian last week, and it was actually his best game. Now, look at these similarities of these two teams. The Buccaneers, when they run the football, they're dead last. They're 32nd in rushing. The Rams are 31st in rushing. The Bucs are 25th in points per game. The Rams are 28th in points per game. The Bucs have lost 5 of their last 6. The Rams have lost 3 of their last 4. And in those 4 Rams losses, they have not scored 14 points in all of those 4 losses. So they're not scoring at all either. Okay? Now, the Rams, does this sound familiar to you? This is the Rams right now coming into this game. They're not all, their defense is not been getting it done for 4 quarters. They are very pedestrian on offense. They're not taking any deep shots. Stafford is not playing his normal self. He's got weapons. Darrell Henderson is their number one back, and he's decent. Jalen Ramsey has dropped 2 picks. They're not getting pressure. The defense did not get pressure on Garoppolo last week. The defense has to tackle better. They've been undisciplined, and they need more pressure. Doesn't that sound like the Tampa Bay stinking Buccaneers? These are 2 very similar teams. And the Rams got to come all the way east, and the Bucs are playing in their house, and it's going to be humid and hot, and the Rams are not used to that. So you tell me, you know, you tell me who should win this game. Now, this is from the Sean McVay show. He's pretty damn honest. Okay? He taped the Sean McVay show with DeMarco Farr, a former player, and JB Long, who's my buddy. And he said, these are challenging times. We have been spoiled. Things have gone well. This is foreign to us. This is all quotes from Sean McVay. I wrote it down. This adversity will allow an opportunity, this is how he's looking at it, to show what you're made of. Okay? Same thing for the Bucs. All this adversity, Devin White's loafing, Brady's going through all the turmoil, they're losing. They're not scoring. Same thing with the Rams. So, we're not afraid. This is Sean McVay. We're not afraid to put everything out there again and then see what works. That's what they were doing this week in regrouping. The coaches getting together, going over the film before they went to that game plan of the Bucs, and they were willing to, like, look at things, put everything out there again on the table and see what works. And he told his players, this is what Sean McVay told the Rams this week, do you have some enthusiasm when things are not going, or when you're not getting the result you want? Now, do you still have it? Are you still going to fly to the ball? Are you still going to be pumped up? Because it's not going good. Same thing for the Buccaneers. And here's Sean McVay's line. Tough times don't last. Tough people do. Are you tough? He said, we own it. No one is feeling sorry for us. Man, that's the same thing that Bowles has been saying. We own our record. Nobody's feeling sorry for us. The Rams are playing good football in the first half. But it's not coming out in wins. And he said, Sean McVay said, even in the games that they have won, they haven't been clean at the end. And that's what he's looking for. And he doesn't know if they're going to turn it around. Same thing, man, with the Buccaneers. All right, let me get into a couple of these matchups. I know Brady and Lamsay, it's what they do, and not so much what somebody's doing it then. But here's what I'm looking for in this game. I'm looking for the GOAT, because here I am telling you, he doesn't look like he's hurt to me. I know a lot of you are speculating that. It doesn't look like he's hurting to me when I see him practice. Okay, and we haven't seen him practice a lot. He took off on Thursday. They were outside. But I got up a couple of steps, and I was just looking through the big glass windows. The team was practicing indoors. The quarterbacks were outdoors. And then when they blow the whistle, 20 minutes are up. We got to leave. Then the quarterbacks come in. I got to say, Brady's got to get back in rhythm again. You know, you're used to having Nick Hainsey now. Nick Leverett, to me, is an upgrade over Gedeki. He did a decent. He did a pretty damn good job. The protection was pretty darn good in this last game. So GOAT, you're getting a little bit better protection. Come on, man, get back in sync. This Rams defense, when I was looking at all their games, Raheem Morris is dialing it up. He does not dial up. They don't blitz a lot. Will he change for this week to try to get to the GOAT? Mike Evans, his matchup's going to be against Jalen Ramsey. Raheem moves Ramsey around. Okay, that's a matchup I want to see. Mike Evans, nobody's 100%. Now, what I noticed on Wednesday when Evans was walking from his locker across the room and he was in bare feet, he had a little bit of a noticeable limp. So his ankle, man, is a little bit tender. But again, that was on Wednesday. You've had plenty more days now. They get the best treatment. They'll tighten that baby up. Whatever they got to do, it'll be tight as a drum. He should be good to go. Okay? But I just want to, I noticed that a little bit in the locker room on Wednesday. The running attack of the Buccaneers. Lenny and Rashad White going up against the Rams, Bobby Wagner and Ernest Jones. Now, Lenny, this stat, it didn't surprise me, but the amount. Lenny has 149 total touches on offense. That is 102 more than any other player. 37 catches because, again, Brady's not going down the field. In all these games, other than the last game, I thought the protection was better. He's having to get rid of it too quick. It's throwing him off. So he's checking down. He's going to Lenny a lot. And Rashad White is slowly coming along. I've told you on these earlier podcasts, those inside the building tell me he writes everything down. He studies a lot. He's very confident for a rookie. He's got some skills. He's slowly coming around. Are they going to use him a little bit more in this game? That's what I'm kind of seeing. But as they always tell us, it depends on how the game's going. Lenny's still our guy. Here's another matchup. Vita Vea against Brian Allen. Now, in the last two Rams-Bucks games, Allen has been better versus Vita. Brian Allen of the Rams against Vita, the last two times they played, has only allowed 3 total pressures. you know, does Vita miss Sue? Doesn't have JBP? You know what, man? You're getting paid a lot of money. You're a man. You're a beast. Let's go. Come on, Vita. Come on, Vita. You know, I'm not gonna make any excuses here. Let's think and go. All right, time to get into the Rams and just even a little bit more, all right? A little bit more in depth. The Rams have had a lot of movement on the offensive line, okay? Their left tackle, Andrew Whitworth, retired. They've had some injuries. Andrew Whitworth is on Amazon Prime. He's on those Thursday night games. And I got to tell you, I was down on the field at the end of the game, and I was standing next to Stephen Che from Barstool. I like him. He's a really nice young guy. And he's on Barstool. He's on this big platform. And he was on the field. And the Thursday night crew came down. Ryan Fitzpatrick came by us. Lee is hysterical from Joe Buck's fan. He's like, why do they put him on? What did Ryan Fitzpatrick do in the NFL to justify that gig? Is it the beard? Maybe it's the beard, Lee. Maybe it's the Fitzmagic thing. Maybe it's the Ivy League, Lee. Lee. It drives Lee crazy, but that cracks me up. Richard Sherman came down. Everybody wants to talk to Richard Sherman. The fans were screaming for him. And Richard Sherman was standing right next to him. He's like, I want to watch the end of this game. I got to watch the end of this game. Whitworth came, and I was standing next to Che, and he stood right in front of me like I wasn't even there. And it was like there was a big shadow. That is one huge man. He is 6'7". I mean, and I just looked at Stephen Che like, he just stood right in front of me here. You think I'm going to say something to him? Didn't he play? Wasn't he like the longest tackle to keep playing or something like that? But anyway, let me get back to the Rams. Cooper Kupp. Now, he had swelling on that ankle early in the week. Mike Evans, I don't think Mike Evans' ankle injury was as severe as Cooper Kupp, but you know what? They're going to go with Cooper Kupp. Whatever they got to do, the treatment, they shoot him up, tie him, you know, tape it up real tight. He is going to play, but he is not going to be even close. And with the cutting and things like that, when you got the ankle, I guess it's not a high ankle sprain. It's a lower sprain, which is actually better for the player. But it's something to watch out. The Rams came out of the bye. They played good in the first half against the 49ers. They were up 14-10, and the 49ers went on a 21-0 run. The Rams have lost three of their last four games. They have one of the worst offenses in the NFL. I know. It's Sean McVay. It's Stafford. This shouldn't be the case, but it's a weird NFL year, and that is the case. They're one of the worst offenses in the NFL. They have a bad offensive line, especially at right guard. They have not protected Stafford at all. Stafford's best game last week, you want to hear these numbers? 187, one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown, but no turnovers. See, that's the thing. Brady is not turning it over. Stafford didn't turn it over. The Rams have been horrible in the fourth quarter. 0 points in the second half against the 49ers. No run game. Henderson, Brown, Rivers, they've combined, 17 carries, I think, for 47 yards. No touchdown. The longest run by a Ram, Henderson with 6 yards. And then Cam Akers was pissed, and now he's going to come back. And what kind of message is this? This is not a good football team. This is not a good football team. If the Buccaneers lose this game, Jesus Christmas, okay? Now, you know what? I was going to deep dive into this last game, both, you know, the 49ers, Rams. I think I've pretty much covered it, okay? And the Ravens, Bucks last week. The Bucs defense gave up 231 yards rushing, which is 7 yards per carry. I will tell you this. Devin White, Levante David, stood in front of his locker till like 12:30 in the morning, and just, it was a wave of media reporters coming in, and he was just beside himself. I mean, he was just pissed off, and he was just talking and talking. And he wasn't making any excuses, because it was bad. I do believe with the Joes and Lee, and you can't, it's human. You can't be on the field this long. Like, the Buccaneers offense has got to help him out. But also, like, the miscommunication, you should not be having miscommunication this late in the season. These are veteran players on defense. Veterans. Same system with Bowles. Yeah, there's been a little bit of a tweak here and there. Bowles says it's not the same defense. Pretty much it is the same defense. This should not be happening. Do they have the hunger? That's the thing. They've lost 5 of their last 6 games. So, you know, I mean, the way the game started, it's been the year. With the D. Delaney and the Jalen Darden on the return, the muff, the Ravens recovered, Justin Tucker field goal. It was 3-0 Ravens, just like that. But the Buccaneers came down. They were moving it, man. And, you know, so enough of that. Enough of going into the past. Can't change it. Am I a believer in the Buccaneers right now? No. No. Am I also a believer in Sean McVay? And the Rams, they haven't given me a reason. I just, God dang, man. So a lot of you do not have Sirius XM. And so when Brady goes he gives a little bit more because it's his podcast. It's the Let Go podcast. And Let's Go podcast. Let Go. Yeah, Let Go. Let Go. Let Go from everything. He's letting go from his wife. But he's not letting go from the Buccaneers. Here's a good quote that I liked. I'm focused on 2 things, taking care of my family and certainly my children. Secondly, doing the best job I can to win football games. Brady was asked by Jim Gray, what's wrong with the offense? And Brady said, we haven't lost confidence. And I haven't seen that in the locker room, listening, watching, hearing from the players. They haven't yet. But Brady said, quote, we're not getting the ball in the end zone enough. We're not making plays we're capable of. Another silver lining in the division, you know, what we can do from here, and blah, blah, blah. Hopefully we can, it's all ahead of us. Hopefully we can play better football on Sundays and continue through the season. Attitude. There is no surrender. There's nobody backing down from the challenge. All right, it's good talk. It's good freaking talk. But, you know, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? I'm not a believer. I said it after the last game. This is what they are. So make me a believer. Change it. Nobody's sniping yet. There's been no changes. Nobody got fired yet. And speaking of, I know a lot of you would love to have Bruce Arians back. And we were discussing this with Sage, Sarah Walsh from NFL Network, Kevin O'Donnell, Fox 13. Like, you know, would the Glazers make a move? You know, it's only 1 year with Todd Bowles. In their history, they have not fired a coach after 1 season. And Sarah was, you know, well, you know what? We were chatting and it was not for broadcast, so I don't, you know, just nothing earth-shattering, but since we were just chatting off-air, I don't want to say, you know, what all of our opinions are. Everybody, Sage has a podcast, and a damn good one. I listen every week, and they crack me up, too, but a lot of information. O'Donnell's on air. She does an awful lot of on-air with NFL Network, so they're on air. They'll tell you what they want to tell you. But Bruce Arians, it was announced, and this went under the radar. I don't know why. Was it a long week? Was that what it was? They announced he is going in the Ring of Honor week 17 against Carolina. Okay, so it's right at the end of the season. He's going to be the 4th coach to go in. McKay, Dungy, Monty Kiffin, who was a defensive coordinator, and now Arians. 14th member at halftime against Carolina, end of the season. There's a lot of conspiracy folks out there. I know one that I do value his opinion. He's like, do you think they're doing that? This was because of Hurricane Ian. It was going to be week 4 against the Chiefs. Thank God that didn't happen then, right? But they had to postpone it because we had that hurricane. We thought that it was going to bear down on us. Then it made that turn. Why didn't they do it sooner? Some speculate, if you're a conspiracy theorist, because, oh my God, if right now, let's say they did it now, and Arians goes out there, oh my God, fans are going to be screaming for him to come back, take over the offense. Leftwich is calling it terrible. We need Bruce back. Or even with Bowles, take over the head coaching job. Now, is that why they did it at the end of the season? And then they're either in the playoff hunt or they're going to get the playoffs or they're out of it and it's over and they would make it. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be week 17. So you know what? Let me tell you one more time about Burger Monger, all right? And then I'll wrap this bad boy up. If you want the best burger that you've ever had in your life, just give Burger Monger a try, because the burgers are hand-pressed. It's a third of a pound of a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef. They just do it to a perfect char. They've got all the toppings and the sauces and the cheeses. And if chicken is your thing, they're amazing chicken sandwiches. You can get the chicken breast grilled or fresh breaded or deep fried. The craveable sides. I really like the natural cut fries. They've got the sweet potato waffle fries, house-made hand-battered onion rings. And then, of course, the shakes, the Barstool shakes. Burger Monger, very vanilla, simply strawberry, chocolate fudge, cookies and cream, caramel crave, and Snickers Supreme. And they've also got this LFG burger. Limited time only. It's two patties, 12 ounces of beef. You got the chopped lettuce, provolone cheese, applewood smoked bacon, and fresh avocado slices. And to top it off, a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing for only $12. Why don't you treat yourself? Especially the way these Buccaneers are playing. Go treat yourself this week. Go for it, man. We're here today, gone tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So listen. At $1 all week, there was no one that actually came out and told us a solution to turn it around. They keep saying that they're talented enough. They know they're better than this. They know that they've got to play all four quarters. They had a couple of days off. It was a little mini bye week, because now after this, they're going to have to go to Munich and the long travel and all that. The opponents are going to get better. This is a bad Rams football team that is struggling. And in some statistics, they are worse than the Buccaneers. So let's enjoy this season. Let's enjoy this game. And Buccaneers, make me a believer again. I have been a believer, and I lost the belief. So let's go. Brady, your podcast is Let's Go. Let's go. On the biggest, baddest, best Buccaneer website anywhere, joebucksfan.com. This has been another Bucks Kickoff Podcast. And I will talk to you again. Enjoy the game, guys.